Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:30 Irish summer time. Today is August 23rd. Well, today started off with some really quite positive action right across the Asian region, and you had a number of indices up in excess of 2%. Japan bounced for the first day in quite a while, and that is lagging other Asian indices quite considerably at this point, but we are seeing a little bit of a bounce there, which is welcome for anyone long of that market, and it is in an area of prior support. The Australian index was up 2.5%, 154 points, and that is right into that last congestion area we saw 2 weeks ago. And that might be an area of that's a, an area of potential resistance in the short term, but it's risen a really rather a lot in the last week, and it has plenty of room to consolidate above the previous the lows that we saw last week, and then move on upwards to challenge the highs. So things are looking really quite positive for a number of markets, particularly in the Asian region. The European indices on the back of that very good. Actually, before I move out of Asia, I should talk about India. India was down in here today. It hasn't broken through that low. You'll see that reassuring email that came in from an Indian subscriber saying that the political turmoil that you have there at the more the political worries that are there is really more saber rattling. There's nobody's particularly keen to have an election. But as long as that threat of the government falling remains, it's unlikely that India is going to rally from these levels. But in common with just about every other market in Asia, this pullback should be viewed as a buying opportunity for India. So it's going to be worthwhile, I think, to keep an eye on that market, and I think the first upward dynamic that holds its gain will be probably a good signal that we've probably that India is going to follow the other Asian markets. Now, Europe started the day really very positively. Most indices were up about 1% for most of the morning. However, when the US came in, there wasn't follow through on the US markets, and the US was down for most of the day. So you had a lot of tail on the European markets. The FTSE gave up almost its entire gain. It closed up 0.9 of 1 point, so flat on the day, big tail on the upside there, telling us that this rally that we've had over the last couple of days ran out of a little bit of steam here today. Certainly nothing in the way of a downward dynamic. But a number of these indices have rallied well, and just as I said with Australia, they could really do with a consolidation around these levels. And provided that they consolidate above the lows, then I think we're in pretty good shape. Moving on to the US. The US closed pretty much flat on the day. The Dow Jones was unchanged, up a quarter, sorry, down a quarter of a point. And it's pretty much the reverse of what happened in Europe. Europe started very well and closed down. Well, the US started down and pretty much closed up on the day. So the S&P was only down 1 point, having been down about 7 or 8 points earlier on. And the Nasdaq was down 11. And this was on the fears about the economy taking center stage again on in the media today. But that hasn't had very much of an effect on the stock market. And again, these markets have rallied a lot, and they are a little bit overbought in the very short term. So if we saw a bit of a consolidation, it's not going to be the end of the world. And you can say pretty much the same for a number of other markets. The other big piece of news in here was that the yen has weakened considerably. And against the well, I posted a number of crosses there today, and that action that we saw last week was climactic, and that pointed towards the yen carry trade being unwound considerably, and it coincided with falls in a whole range of markets right across asset classes. But once that carry trade was unwound, that was climactic action, and markets have rallied very well, as we've seen. Now that the risk profile and the appreciation of just exactly what the risks are out there has been reassessed, particularly following the Fed announcement on Friday, some of these carry trades are starting to be put back on. The fundamental reasons for having of carry trade are still there. The yen financing is very, very cheap. And the Japanese want a weak currency. And more than most other central banks, the Bank of Japan is more than happy to facilitate the weak currency. So that is 2 points in favor of putting on carry trades and borrowing in cheaply in yen and investing it in higher yielding areas. And that has certainly helped to support stock markets over the last week and will probably continue to do so over the coming months. Now, every now and again, you get this contraction in the carry trade. Up by far, the biggest one was just last week, but we've had these carry trade contractions before. And every time people have talked about it being the end of the carry trade. But as long as the Bank of Japan has rates at half of 1%, and that is only a fraction of what we see in just about every other country, you're going to have this big interest rate differential, and that is going to support the re the that is going to be a supporting reason for taking carry trades out, and that is a supporting a factor for a number of stock markets and indeed other markets. In the industrial metals sector, we have started to see a number of these metals which have been hit hard over the last couple of weeks starting to find support in areas of prior support. And provided that they hold above their lows, they can probably be given the benefit of the doubt. But when it comes to the international beauty contest, it is markets like the Asian equity markets which have retraced a huge proportion of their overall decline in common with Canada and with Australia. These type of markets, these are the ones that we can keep an eye on to lead the market forward. Whereas industrial metals have bounced without a doubt, but they're not leading the market. They haven't bounced to an extent where we can say, "Gosh, that's really impressive there." Whereas we can definitely say that with the Asian markets. So I'm going to stick with my investments in Singapore and Hong Kong. And while I have some Rio, which fell a little bit here today, I'm more inclined to add to my Asian bets rather than taking out bets on the industrial metals, particularly because my spread better, my spread bet company doesn't allow me to put stops on LME metals, which is rather hair-raising. The other major move that we've had here was in the dollar. The dollar has come right back and it's at 81 now on the dollar index. That's at the top of the consolidation, which was just above 80. And if it falls through 81, it's almost certainly going to go back and test that 80 level. We haven't seen anything in the way of upward dynamics in favor of the dollar, particularly against those reserve currencies. And provided we don't see those, then the chances are that we're going to see this dollar weakening further, although it will do it, I think, in probably a gradual type way. So it's probably going to range sideways to lower over the coming months. And that's a support for certainly the metal complex and the the precious metals. Gold was relatively unchanged in here today. Silver was up 14 cents at 1170. Now, silver had fallen considerably. It was down to, I think, $11.06 sometime last week, and has rallied off that low and held on to the gain. And it does appear to be a consolidation prior to moving higher. But there's going to be the precious metals need interest to return to that sector, and they are consolidating beneath their highs. Palladium is a bit of an exception because it fell so abruptly last week, and I think that was on fears that there was going to be less palladium used in catalytic converter manufacture. But that has found support. It was up 485 in here today, and that's a recovery candidate. And looking at the bond markets, the 30-year treasury is up 8 points. And I think there was a news story just flashed by there saying that the Treasury were going to issue their biggest auction ever of the, I think it was the 2 year, because there's so much demand for on the short end of the curve right now. The other story here today was that there is a huge amount of commercial paper coming up for maturity, and there aren't many lenders who want to roll it forward. I'll read you the headline. It's "Commercial Paper Outstanding is Biggest Weekly Drop Since November 2000." So there are still problems in the credit markets, and we continue to see central banks acting aggressively to support markets and inject liquidity. And that is something to keep an eye on. I have no doubt that this problem in the commercial paper market is going to sort itself out. There is certainly a lot of this asset-backed commercial paper out there, and some companies, namely I think Cameco, has rather more of it than they should do. But I don't think it's particularly a worry. I think they will be able to sort this out, and over the coming months, this will be less of an issue. When you look at that spread chart in the chart library, I think it was the 30-day commercial paper, sorry, 3-month commercial paper over the 3-month yields. That has absolutely exploded, and that tells us that there really is a problem in this market right now. One of my colleagues, Mark Lowry, who's a bit of an expert on the bond market, said that from people he's talked to, that the commercial paper market has absolutely ground to a halt. And that's a worry, certainly, and I think that is something that may hold stock markets back if it comes center stage. But given the fact that it is a problem, and it is a known problem, I think central banks will work aggressively towards injecting liquidity and supporting markets where they are right now. And with that in mind, just a couple of last things to talk about. Oil was up 62 cents in here, so just under that $70 level. Hasn't collapsed, having fallen through 70. And I think it's unlikely to fall very much further. This is a consolidation beneath the high. It had a remarkably consistent uptrend all the way up towards $80, and it has come off from that, and we're going through a little bit of a corrective phase. But if anything has told, or if this bull market in commodity has taught us anything, it's that not to underestimate the demand from the emerging markets. And while every gallon of oil that we burn decreases the inventory, demand is increasing inexorably, and there will be considerable new demand flowing through from developing economies going forward, whereas it's getting a lot harder to find this stuff, which means that we're unlikely to see oil fall too much from current levels, I think, whereas the potential upside over the next 10 years is considerable. Natural gas was up 10 cents today. It had fallen really aggressively when Dean missed the most of the Gulf of Mexico, and it's at 568 right now, which is rather cheap. But this is being extremely volatile. Personally, I'm disinclined to go near natural gas until it sustains a break above $8, because it does look like it's in a base formation right now. But that's pretty much it for me, and thank you very much for your time.